This is episode 4 of Homie and the Dude. Today we are joined by Lauren Cooper, who is a good, very, very good friend of mine who I've known for a very long time and one of the most incredible artists that I know, incredible graphic designer, and actually what I would go for farther to say actually, and we'll talk about this in a minute, about basically the fact that you are also one of the most amazing creative minds that I know as well in terms of all the performing arts stuff, as well as also all the art stuff, but we'll talk a bit about that. Quickly before we dive into it, Coops, I need to give a disclaimer to people watching. If you're watching and you don't like swearing and language like that, then this podcast might not be for you, as well as also sometimes taboo topics get brought up. If you don't like topics that might be sensitive for some people, then you can also click off the video at any point. Final thing I'm going to say is this is our first time that we have done this with our new pages up. So we've got a Facebook page and a YouTube channel. Please go subscribe, like, and share this content out there. The reason we're saying this, and we want to be honest with you guys from the get-go, is that we have goals we want to hit that will allow us to make more content for you guys. If you guys help us hit those goals, then you guys get more videos, more content. So subscribe, like, share that around. Let's get into it. So in terms of for people who don't know Coops, we became friends when we were about 16, 17. We did college in the UK, or the last 2 years of high school for America together. I remember how it went for me. How do you remember getting to know me? What was it like on your end?
I remember the first few days at college and everyone was trying to act like they were friends, but no one really knew anyone. Hmm. And I remember I showed you 21 Pilots' song Car Radio in the video, and that's actually what made us friends, because yeah. You were like, that's pretty cool, and yeah, that's how I remember it.
That's exactly how I remember it as well. I remember literally being like, it was the first week, no one was talking to each other, I came into the lunch hall and you were sat with your headphones in, and I went over and was like, yeah, what you listening to? And you were like, 21 Pilots, check this out. And that was it, and we were just homies from then. It was really a nice start to also me going, wow, this girl has awesome taste in music. And then we shared music back and forth, and then obviously as performing arts, which we studied together, went on, we got to know each other more because we had to do acting together and dancing and singing, which was awesome, and all that kind of stuff.
I will say as well though that like that period of time when you shared 21 Pilots with Bodhi, like legit they were unknown. Were like, there was nothing out there. And I just remember us hearing Car Radio over and over again in the house because it was so good. And then we watched the whole growth of them. That was really cool. And then we actually went to London and all watched them live, which was amazing. So that was like, our journey with 21 Pilots.
Yeah, it started. And yeah, they were pretty, they'd only released two albums at that point, and they'd shifted their whole band at that point as well. So they were pretty much, yeah, unknown when you showed them to me, Coops. And then like deep within like a year of us like being friends, suddenly the Blurry Face album came out and everyone was like, oh my god, 21 Pilots, Stressed Out.
I'm listening to that on the bus to college because I pre-ordered it, and I like got to college and I was like, have you listened to it?
Exactly, yeah. It was really good. And I think it was really nice as well that we all, in just performing arts as a whole, formed a really nice bond. And again, you and me were just talking about people we've kept in contact with. I didn't even mention, like, I've kept in contact. I've literally messaged Lucy Nicholson the other day because I saw that she's doing some awesome stuff with Cruise stuff. And I was like giving her some props for that. Talked to Asher here and there and a few other like bits and bobs. But yeah, it's been a long time ago. And a lot has changed in that time as well. Something that I wanted to bring up and talk to you about is when we first got to know each other, your whole drive in life was performing. Like, I remember talking to you about it and you were like, I will be going to performing school. I will be performing in some way, whether it be singing, dancing, or acting in some way later in my life. And for me, I'll say this as someone who is not a triple threat in any way, shape, or form. If people know what a triple threat is, Lauren Coops is one of those people that is the definition of a triple threat. You can sing, you can dance, you can act in to really high standards. And it's not me just saying that for the fun of it. It's just true. Like, you can ask anyone who is in our course, you're one of the highest ranking, I guess, in terms of skill and ability, but also you put in hard work. I know you had done a lot of dance before you came to college. Tell us about the dance that you've been doing. How long had you been doing dance up until college?
I think I started when I was around 5. And it was all I ever wanted to do, like you said. Like, it was just, you know, I just wanted to perform. And I took it at college, performing arts, because it had a really good rep, a course and everything. But I always was drawing on the side. And I went through a stage of, I was just really interested in, like, designing tattoos and wanting to be possibly, like, a tattoo artist in the future. And I guess it was in second year, and I started auditioning, and it was just the auditions, like, it. Unless you have that complete mindset when you get into that room and you start auditioning, you can just tell there and then if it's for you. And I just started auditioning, and I was like, this isn't for me. I just didn't have that. Even though I had, like, the commitment and the drive to want to do it, I just didn't have that, like, mindset of that. I don't think I was strong enough in terms of, like, self-confidence to do that, because it's a tough industry. And it was when I started auditioning that I realized that it's kind of run its course in my life. I'm glad I did it, because if I hadn't have taken it at college, and if I hadn't have spent all that time doing it, I would never have known it wasn't what I wanted to do. I think I needed to go wrong to, like, get that set right.
From my perspective, I was sort of viewing it from outside, especially the doodling and, like, the different, like, symmetrical drawings, because those would somehow flow through to us. I'm not sure if Bodhi was sharing them. I know at some point you and Tracy were having a conversation about designing a tattoo, and all of that was happening as well. So I could see, like, art being channeled in both areas, both in, you know, in a pure artistic way, but also through performing arts, and could see that you were, like, splitting your attention at that time.
I've always been, like, madly creative. I've always wanted to do something creative. And it just, it was second year when I realized that it was more, like, behind the scenes and just doing my own thing rather than, like, performing and being on stage. I went back to college and did that, and then went to university and did illustration.
And do you know what, like, two things that I want to say about just commending you, because one thing was, I know for me, when I was in high school, when I was choosing GCSEs, which are, like, at the end of when you turn 16, you take exams in England, and everyone who's in England knows that. GCSEs are that, like, first examination big step for kids in England. And I had a choice between drama and sport, and I'd always done sports. I was always good at sports. But something was calling me to drama at the time. It was my teacher, one of our close friends, was also doing performing arts at the time. And I wanted to be with him, and I wanted to be doing that. But I chose sport because the majority of my friends group went and did sport. And again, it was something that I was more, much better at. So I went with what I was confident with, and I regretted it. For 2 years, I, like, hated that course. And I just, like, every day would, like, come home to Tom and Tracy and just be like, why did I choose this course? Like, it is the worst thing ever. It sucks. It's nothing that I'm interested in whatsoever. And I commend you, one, for when you did make that change. It was at a difficult time in life. You know, you were in that limbo stage just after college, and you just hunkered down and went for it. And that was pretty badass. But something else that you just mentioned was that you said, you know, your confidence when you realized the performing arts industry was as it was when you went to the auditions, that it wasn't for you. Like, I remember a stat Daniel told us, which is that only 3% of all performers are the, like, upper echelon. There's 97% of the rest of the performers in the world who never make, like, the silver screen, the West Ends, the Broadways, the you know, the movies. And I think for me, when I heard that stat, I checked out of performing arts for sure. I was like, cool, I'm here for fun now. I can imagine going to uni, and I know also at the time, you're right, like, I remember your confidence being a bit lower. But then I think the thing that I was going to commend you on is when you did go to uni and you made that decision, it gave you so much power. I remember talking to you in those first couple of weeks of uni, and you're still a bit nervous and a bit unsure, but, like, you had this whole new power about you that was, like, really epic as well.
I think, like, because all the way through my life, I've always, like, performed and stuff. But if I was ever, like, the way I see it, if I was ever to post something online of me performing, I'd be terrified. If I went on stage, I just got so nervous about what people would think of me. But with, like, posting my art or anything, even if I'm like, oh, it's not my best, but, you know, I don't care, I want people to see it, that's me, that I've done that. Like, it just so much more confident in not necessarily, like, the quality of it, because I'm not necessarily saying, like, oh, all my work's incredible, but it's just the self-confidence of, I'm not terrified to post anything art-wise. It's just like second nature, whereas performing, it was just always, yeah, it was just always something missing. I loved it, but it just wasn't me, and it just took me slightly too long to realize it, but I guess in the end it all turned out.
Yeah.
That's super interesting as well, because there's an aspect of you like really understanding yourself, and so there's this sort of perception of what I want to do, and I've felt this a few different times in my life of like, I think I would really be, I really love to do that, and I don't take the further step of actually either imagining how it would actually be to do that or actually doing that. And when I take that further step, there's been so many examples where I didn't actually like the process of doing it. I like the perception of the thing, the, you know, like the romanticized version of it.
Yeah.
And that's cool. It sounds like that's exactly what happened. And then when you got to art, you know, through just doodling and stuff and then onto uni, it just connected more with you.
Yeah, it did. It just felt just so much more confidence. It was, even though it was so much more personal, I wasn't afraid to share it. And it just, yeah.
I think I also love Coops. So you know me, I message you literally pretty much every time you post something. I'm like, whoa, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, watching your art and the growth of your art has been amazing. And I also love, like you said, it's really personal to you. Like, I know you've done a few things on like mental health stuff. You've done a couple of like, I guess what I would call very femme positive posts, like things more for like women and like women's, I guess, situations. I wouldn't even know how to correctly articulate that kind of area, but it was like, you really do put this beautiful spin on it. And actually, I was sat with Nikki last night. I spent like 20 minutes just going through your Instagram and looking at all your art again, and just trying to like gather some thoughts for today and stuff to talk to you about. And I really, we both were like, wow, you can see the style. Like, if you saw one of these pieces out and about, you would know that it's Lauren's, because you found this really strong style within your work now. It's changed over time, don't get me wrong, but there's a consistent style now that I think is really dope as well.
Yeah, I think like taking illustration, one of all of my friends, everyone on that course that I've spoken to, one of everyone's anxieties about illustration in general was finding your style. Mm. And we were in first year and we were like, we don't know our style. And it was this big thing. And I think it just happens for everyone on the, like everyone, all of my friends on the course, it just happens so naturally without you even realizing it. And it changes, but then actually you look back, and even though maybe my stuff from last year isn't the same style, you can still tell kind of that it's mm-hmm. me and it's similar. But yeah, that was one of the biggest things on the course, is everyone is so scared about not finding their style, but it just comes naturally.
Go ahead, Boats.
No, you go, Tom, go for it.
No, I could see how that would be like a challenge in that. So important to find your style and to maintain your style, but also important to stretch. Mm-hmm. But in stretching, to somehow stay connected to your style, so you don't stretch in a space that isn't your style anymore.
Yeah.
So that's probably a really, or just be like, okay, I'm gonna actually play in this other area right now and leave my style here for a while and just see how that is. And then I'll come back to it, I'll merge it, or that type of thing. Is that part of the process?
It's so like, well, so your university course is 3 years and you think that's so long to do all these things. But it's really not. It goes so quickly. And like, yeah, you're torn because you find something that you want to do and that you like, and you're like, I really want to develop this and my style. But then like, because you're studying it and you need to get grades and you need to hit criteria, you also need to go off and try loads of other things. And it's very conflicting. It's very difficult. I didn't think it would be so hard, like mentally on like trying to figure it out, like my style and everything. But yeah, it's, yeah, difficult, but yeah. I found it particularly hard because I found in third year that I wanted to go more towards like a graphic design style.
Mm.
And it was like third year and I was supposed to be producing all of my best work ready for like grading, but I just found this new thing that I really wanted to do in this new style, and I didn't have the time to kind of like perfect it. So yeah, that's, it's hard. I still don't feel like I'm there, but it's nice to know that other people seeing my work think that I am.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. I and you know, that's another reason why, honestly, like something that I've been trying to do, I guess for a while with like a lot of my friends that are close that are creatives is provide feedback in that way. Like I have skateboarders who make videos that I'm friends with that I often comment on and like try and just provide feedback, because I feel like within the creative industry these days, especially on social media, everyone's so guarded about their own stuff that everyone's like, oh, like, why should I like comment on your thing if you're not gonna like comment on? And so for me, I'm just like, I want to be able to let everyone know that they're doing awesome. Or if I'm like, yo, have you tried this? Thoughts on this? You know, and again, just talk to people, because I think sometimes getting some feedback from a third party is one of the best things ever, because it can either shift your direction entirely or it can make you even more confident on what you've already done, meaning that you go even harder and push even harder in some ways. Something that you mentioned about the your course, Lauren, that I actually want to ask you about, is you said like the amount of people finding their style. Would you say there's a high percentage of people that come out of uni closer to that style? Or would you say like the percentage is more 50-50, people are still a little bit limbo-y after third year? What would you say?
I think a lot of people do. So there was like nearly 150 people on my course, and the majority of them, I could recognize their work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all have this idea that the end of year three was the end of our creative exploration. You had to know exactly what you're doing, ready for commissions, but that's not the case. Like, even though I finished uni, I still have so much time, and so does everyone else, to develop and explore. And you know, you look at some alumni from the uni or like any creative course, and you see their third year stuff and it's really strong and they have like a consistent style, but actually 5 years down the line it's changed again. Like it's never gonna stick.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting to see that. I'd say the majority of people have found something that they just that they can work with and that they can produce strong work with, like their style, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to change, because I can guarantee mine will probably change in the next year or so, but yeah. Not change as such, just develop into a stronger version of what it is.
Yeah, carry same motifs throughout, but have different overall expression.
Yeah, a word from PA.
Exactly, a bit of dance terminology there. But no, yeah, in terms of that, I was going to say as well, Falmouth, obviously, I'm not sure if you've done any other art courses in any other sort of way, but after doing the 3 years at Falmouth, are you someone who stood there going, Falmouth is a great place, come here, do this course? If you're an artist, an illustrator, graphic designer, this is for you? Or are you like, it was great for me in moments, but also it's not helped me? And what's your kind of like almost feedback on the course that you took? Because that's, you know.
Yeah, I think illustration, because I'm really glad I took illustration, because like I said, I got kind of towards the end of second year and beginning of third year, I kind of realized, oh, maybe I should have taken graphic design. But actually the freedom on the illustration course is so far that I've been able to explore that side of my work while still doing illustration and kind of merging it together, which is what now my style is, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So I would highly recommend Falmouth. I think particularly the illustration course, and a reason why a lot of people on my course took it was because it's so broad. Because like I say to people, oh, I've done illustration, and they just assume that I've done children's books, and I've never ever tried to illustrate a children's book in my life. I can't do comics. I don't really enjoy drawing people. Like, that's not what I do, but it doesn't mean to say that I don't do illustration. Like, it is so broad.
Yeah.
And the good thing about the Falmouth course was they didn't try and put you into a box. They just saw what you were good at and then helped you try to develop that. So I had a lot of talks with my tutors in third year about helping me with like more typographic stuff and how to put my work more into a graphic area. And I was happy that they would allow me to do that, because a lot of courses I can imagine would be like, well, that's not really illustration, but they let me explore of how to mix it together. So
that's
didn't hold me back at all.
Yeah, that's super important. I know, like, Tom, I'm the only person in this room that hasn't been to university, or in this call that hasn't been to university. So Tom, do you want to weigh in about university? Is that teachers helping students? Is that a good shout, like finding themselves? What did you get at uni?
Well, what I was thinking about when you were talking, Lauren, is, so you come out of uni with this feeling of, you know, I'm developing my style, but then now you're faced with, okay, now I also now to some degree have to monetize this in some sort of career. And you've already had a taste of that with these little projects with whomever that you've, you know, you've had commissions here and there during your time at uni. So, and I know artists that are tortured by this dilemma of how much do I commercialize? Do I just go for commissions no matter what they are? Just because that's going to pay for things. And how much do I stay true to my art? And I'm sure that's like a pretty strong conversation that's, you know, that's pretty common in, I'm not sure through uni, but certainly it is in the post-uni, like how do I navigate all of this world? How much of that are you thinking about now? How much have you been thinking about it?
I think since handing in my final work, I've been more relaxed with my work because I have felt more room to kind of just do what I want because, you know, at uni I had to write myself a project, I had to hit the bits of the project, it had to go in certain directions to get grades, and so I feel less restricted in that way. So I feel like more creatively free, and I've actually probably done more personal work since graduating than I have done throughout my 3 years, like just on the side of uni. But also there's just this overwhelming like feeling of this is it now, this is time, this should be my job. So in a way I feel kind of like more stress and more pressure than at uni because like I am on my own now. But also I keep telling myself like I literally handed in my work about a month and a half ago. Like, you know, I've got time and we are in the midst of a pandemic. Like there's not a lot going on. So it's okay that I'm spending this time just doing my own thing and trying to stay creative and trying to develop my work rather than getting lots and lots of jobs pouring in. Because I think that time's really valuable. So yeah, it's overwhelming, but it's, for now it's okay. It's giving me time to kind of develop and explore new things.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, and I think something I was going to also kind of pitch in with the whole industry thing that Tom talked about. You talked about like how in like 5 years your style will probably be visibly different to this current style. I was going to say, how much at this point, like after being in uni and I guess talking to maybe your staff and your teachers who have been in the industry and stuff, how much of their styles or artist styles generally are influenced by the industry, do you think? Do you find in illustration and graphic design that artists are moving with the times a bit more? Like we even talked just before this podcast about like going from drawing on paper and, you know, going to now use pads and Wacom, like, is that a big influence at the moment? Where's your head on that kind of stuff?
I think definitely, because we had like a whole module at uni about professional practice, so trying to get our work out there, how we can do that, how we can network and everything. And the main thing now is just social media, because that's where a lot of people get their commissions and a lot of people get their jobs. But the thing is, in social media is you're constantly comparing yourself and you're constantly seeing other people, and like you want to do what they're doing, not to copy, but to kind of like get up with them and then exceed them. And like, so I think very much so, because there are trends, there are really big trends, especially with like graphic design. I think it's about, like for me personally, I try and take those trends, because you'd be an idiot not to, because it's what people like, it's what people want. But then bringing your own thing into it, so not just, because you know you do get some people that literally do just kind of copy what the big people are doing, and you always get that with everything. But yeah, definitely moving with the times, and with social media it's really hard to ignore it. So I just try to embrace it, but put my own thing, you know, use my own work and my own thoughts and like visuals, but still stick with the trends, because
fair.
Do you mind just, because we talked about your style, can you just describe it for anyone that's listening? Like how would you describe exactly what you're into and how it looks on visually?
So while you're doing that, Coops, I'll screen share some of your, I've got your Instagram loaded up, so I'll just roll through your Instagram and let people see while we're
on. Awesome.
I guess it's a really hard question to try and describe my own style, because like I just do it. I mean, like my work process a lot of the time is kind of more abstract visuals, so trying to like show a concept without drawing it too realistically, so a bit more abstract, and then kind of just experimenting with like texture work and color and bringing it all together for it to enhance the concept, I guess. That's like my thought process. But I guess I'd describe my style as just being a bit, and it's really hard to describe it myself. I'm looking at it now on the screen.
I would describe it as, to me, like, I almost, when I look at your stuff, Lauren, I completely agree, like textures and stuff like that. The way I've been describing it to people is like, if you imagine sound, what sound sounds like is how I see a lot of your art is. I'm like, it's super abstract. There's loads of like waves and flowing stuff and different shapes and stuff. And it always, to me, is like in some way, for some reason, I always relate your music to sound. I don't know why your art to sound.
Yeah, that's, well, I do take a lot of influence myself from sounds. So that, yeah, that does work. Like a lot of my work, especially at the start of third year, was heavily influenced by music. I did a lot of like album stuff and stuff from songs, like posters for Glastonbury. Yeah. So yeah, that is a really big influence of mine. And I think I kind of, sometimes I describe it as, I kind of try and draw without drawing. But okay. Like it is drawing, like it is illustration. If you look at my work, like it is very illustrative, but yeah. I wouldn't say I am an illustrator as such. That's why I kind of brand myself as like an illustrator designer, because it's more design based things, but with an illustrative lead.
Yeah.
And yeah, bringing in like just textures and abstractness that, and colors and like, yeah, that can enhance concepts. I guess that's what I try to achieve. But I'm glad that you said that, Bodhi, because yeah, I do take a lot of influence from music. It's good that that comes across.
I like 100%. And not only that, but I just showed that one image of your Tash Sultana record. Like, dude, I swear, I was saying to Nikki last night, I will pay you. No matter, you could put any price on that thing. I will pay you for that record. It is so beautiful. I've looked at that for years and been like, wow, that is one of the most beautiful pieces of art ever. And I also love the one with like the white circle at the top, the big white circle, and a couple of other white circles with all the flowing, like, almost look like waves, like going through it.
Yeah.
Like, I want so many prints. Me and Nick are already saying when we either get our van in New Zealand or our house, we're going to be ordering a lot of those to put them up in our living space.
I think like that kind of thing. Like when I first joined the course, all these people around me were like really good at drawing people and they were really good at drawing scenes. And I was like, I don't do that. I can't do that. And I tried to kind of make myself do that. And then it was only in like second half of second year that I was like, actually, I can own my own form of illustration. I don't have to do what they're doing. I don't have to draw like a scene in a book. I don't have to draw something like that, you know? So the more like abstract line work and the colors and the textures and stuff, that's what I've really wanted to do from the get-go. And I think it just took a while to kind of like gain the confidence to actually do that.
And that was your early stuff, like the abstract line work was
where I started.
Yeah, it really was. Can you talk a little bit about,
just saying,
there you go,
Lauren's pieces that I have tattooed on me, that Tracy, my mom, has the other half of the piece, but with color, all like watercolor splashed into it.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about your actual process? So like when you're in the process of creating stuff, do you have headphones on? Are you, you know, looking out a window? Are you getting, like, talk us through how that works, or an example of how you do it. It might be different at different times, but
are you drinking
coffee or tea?
Coffee. You drink tea. Always listening to music, always, when I'm creating. One of my last uni projects, which is on my Instagram, it was a series of six posters that I did, and it was, I think it really made me learn a lot about my process, because I basically gave myself the project and I was like, I want you to create these as quickly as possible because you're at home and you're being forced to finish your degree at home. And I was really worried that I was going to dip creatively when this was like supposed to be the most important semester of my time at uni. So I kind of wrote myself this project to basically learn a lot about myself, of how I create and how I can do that quickly in this environment. So with those, I would literally just give myself kind of like a word or something that I was feeling inspired by on that day, or something that I was thinking about. And I just kind of jot down like images, like abstract images that could be used, or concepts to kind of show that. So for example, one of them was like focus, and it was about how I was really struggling to focus. So I put that into a design, and the concepts were kind of like abstract kind of shapes that you can't really see anything in them because you can't focus on it, and it was all out of focus basically. Just as simple as that, just taking something and trying to think of a concept for it. And then I usually come up with some sort of, we call them thumbnails. It was like what everyone said at uni, like rough kind of composition kind of doodles basically of like what it would look like, or what a piece could look like, and just moving them around. And then once I have like a basis of what I want something to look like, and I have the concept that I'm wanting to draw, I kind of go in and I try and do it. I usually start with line work of where I'm going to put things and what I'm going to do, but then it never stays the same. It always goes somewhere else. Mm. Because a lot of it comes from experimentation of like, oh, I just accidentally did that, but that looks sick, so I'll keep it. Mm. Like a lot of my processes, I'll bring in like textures and just paintings and scans into something, and I'll drop in some colors. And I always layer up with different blend modes. That's like something that I've realized that I do like with everything I do now, is change like blend modes. And it's amazing what it can do like digitally with like, you do different textures and you layer them up and you just do different blend modes and different layers, and the different orders that you do them in completely changes the colors, the look, the texture, the light, everything. So that's, I basically work with that and experiment with that until it looks like until I just stumble upon a bit that's, it's like, yes, that's what I wanted it to look like, but I don't know that's what I want it to look like.
Yeah.
And then that's how I create things really. One of at uni, the illustration course do a magazine every year called Wonderkammer, basically like a book full of curiosities, and we all have to draw or do a piece based on something that we're curious about. And my piece was based on the word ecdysis. It means like the shedding of skin in reptiles. And it was also a song by Flume. So I did that, yeah. And I just stumbled upon that final completely by accident. I can't remember how I made it. I've been trying to recreate that style ever since. I'm still trying to like relearn what I did. I can't remember.
That's so sick. Because, yeah. I mean, first of all, I love that you... Again, the musical reference plus like also like great verbal typography, like reference if it wanted to be used. And, you know, it's something that I also really get when I'm doing any sort of writing or when I do filming, and especially when I'm editing like a video, I always have an idea in my head. I'm like, cool, this is how the story is going to go. I know in my head that this is how the story's going, and I know what shots I have. So I kind of know where it is in my head. But like you said, when you get down to bare bones, you're like, wow, this just doesn't look right here. So I need to shift it. I need to like realign. Like I know I released a couple of videos on my private Instagram recently, and like I've changed the actual like amount of days that we were in places so that the story fit better together. Even though we were only there for like, in one case, like 5 days, I changed it to 3 days because it just made the story flow better. So I get that. Changing on the fly is such a big part of, I would say, my creative process as well, actually, and being open to that, because again, finding those bottle moments of magic. Like I remember I threw a transition into one of my pieces and I really liked the way it did something. And I was like, that was so by accident. I clicked the wrong thing and dragged it in. I didn't even mean to do that. And now it looks amazing.
Yeah. Honestly, most of my stuff, it's not by accident, but I just stumble upon it. Like often I'll get to a piece and it could be finished. And I'm like, is that the finish yet? And then I'll go and redo it in a different way because I don't think it's working, and I'll spend hours on something else, and I'll go back to that original one and be like, actually, I just needed to do it wrong to realize that one I did first and hours ago is actually finished.
Yeah. There's something about that space as well when you're creating that. So I think most people, if you really got into why they create, the real answer is to share with other people and maybe to get a little bit of recognition, you know, that type of thing. There's a little bit of that. But when you really get into that really like flow state, super creative space, you're getting such a buzz off it yourself that it is really for you at that point. It is like a, I don't know, time does funny things. You lose time, but you also are just in this really, really amazing area where it just feels so in sync, like in like a non-human way. You've tapped into something that's very, very cool. And it happens, you know, it happens every so often, and you try to make that feeling happen as much as you can. A lot of times it doesn't. So cool when it happens though. And it sounds like, you know, that whole process, let's say if the process is 10 steps, there might be like a half step right here in the middle that is like pure flow state. That's amazing. That can shift the whole project over in one way.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I was talking to Nikki about this the other day. We were talking about the difference between like almost taking a course and doing something for yourself. So I said, the theory that I kind of placed over dinner was like, there's a difference between accomplishment and achievement. I said, obviously they kind of mean the same thing, but if you were to put them in relation to things, I would say for me, accomplishment is like when I accomplish a task that someone has set for me, for example, a boss at work, or, you know, whatever, a client, you know, or again, an examiner or a teacher, staff member, whatever. There's a level of like accomplishment, like, yeah, I did that. It's really good. I'm happy I did that for them. But like I said to Nick, I was like, on the other side, when you achieve something that you've made yourself, there's a whole nother feeling. Like it beats all like other things that bring you serotonin and happiness. When you create something, there's a whole nother level. I completely agree with you, Tom. And even like down to, I would say like with skateboarding for me, landing a new trick for the first time, like because I've worked hard and I've learned and it's changed and it's developed and like, and I've put that time in and I've achieved my own personal, like I've not listened to anyone else. I've done my thing and I've got it. It feels so damn good. It feels so, so good. Like there's no better feeling in my opinion than, yeah, when you finally put the cover down, you're like, oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I think it's what you said, like, with like regards to recognition and stuff, like you don't do it for recognition. Like a lot of the time it is that sense of achievement of doing something that I'm really proud of.
Yeah.
But also there is something about like other people that are doing the same thing as you, not the same thing, you know, like creating art because, or doing something to achieve, like when they're doing the same thing as you, for you to like kind of recognize each other as really good art and support each other, there's just something so special about that as well, because you know they're feeling the same thing when they create their work as you are, and there's just something really nice about those people being like, actually, yeah, your work is sick, like, you know, and vice versa. So yeah. I think recognition within that sense is just, it's really good and really important. Yeah,
I agree with you. And not only that, but also it's a good measure. I often find that if I make a video and, for example, one of my friends who also makes videos comments on the video and he's like, yo, I really like this. I'm like, I feel better because someone within the community, someone who understands, someone who, like you said, is feeling that stuff and knows the process and knows the hard work put in behind that, is acknowledging your hard work.
Yeah.
It also measures in your head. You can go, cool, if I consider them maybe a little bit higher than me, if they're saying good job, then I'm doing pretty good, like, you know. I'm and I think it's a good measuring tool as well to see the feedback you get from peers, as well as also audience that enjoy your work, peers as well that are within the same industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I think there's another sort of phase as well that's really interesting. So the creative phase is really cool, and I see it a lot with Tracy, and she doesn't even notice, but she has been doing her, you know, food creation now for pretty much 30 years. So there's the creative process and then there's the mastery process. And being a master at something is just like almost like subconsciously allowing your body to do things that are fundamentally right, right? So they're ticking all of the boxes of, you know, a graduate degree of what exactly you're supposed to do, all the foundational things in that art. You're just doing them without even thinking. Mm-hmm. And then in the end as well, just adding that extra little of, you know, that there's a saying that someone will say, I've forgotten more than you'll ever learn. And that's a pretty cocky thing to say, right? But that is something that a master literally has forgotten more stuff than a lot of people will ever learn. Like through that process, they've gone through different styles. They've gone through different explorations. They've failed so many times. They've succeeded so many times. That journey is incredibly dense in a story. And to see that evolve and see the other end of that is pretty interesting as well. And you guys are both on that journey as well, which is pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah. Coops, I want just something I want to like segue totally back to was you said you listen to music when you do your art. Are you listening to stuff with vocals or stuff that's instrumental? Because obviously I would say both come out with different effects. Do you find that?
Kind of. I listen to both, definitely. I do listen to a lot of instrumental stuff, but not because I don't enjoy stuff with lyrics. Like I kind of listen to like what I'm in the mood for that day. Mm-hmm. I'm like kind of, if I'm doing a piece of work and it's specifically, I want it to look like it's inspired by a piece of music, I will listen to that genre, I will listen to that piece of music. Mm. But a lot of the time, if I'm doing a piece of work that's not necessarily supposed to be inspired, you know, it's not based on a piece of music, I'll still listen to music whilst I'm doing it, just like you do when you do anything. But as long as it's just something that makes me happy and that I enjoy listening to, it will just make me feel like I'm in a good and safe environment to create. I guess.
What's some of your jams at the moment? What's some of your like go-to artists at the moment? What do you listen to? Fill me with new content to listen to.
Jack Garrett's new album's just been released.
Mm.
I was watching him at Reading.
Yeah.
Oh. And I was just shocked at how I'd seen him at Glastonbury, and I was like, guys, you need to come and watch this guy because he's just absolutely insane live because he does everything himself and it's just so raw. So he hasn't released anything for 4 years, and he's just released his new album. And I got the vinyl through the post, and it's just like, it's just so raw because he literally couldn't bring himself to release anything because he felt so much pressure from this first album that he wasn't going to match it. So he just couldn't release anything for 4 years. So this album, it's just like, even like, I don't think necessarily the music is any better than the last one. I don't think it's necessarily better to listen to, but the rawness and the emotion and the concepts and everything that went into it just makes it such a nice thing to listen to. Also the artwork for the vinyl and the cover and the whole concept for all of the releases is just amazing. And I'm so inspired by it because it's so abstract.
Hmm.
It's kind of like merged photography and abstract art. And it's just, I think just everything about that album right now is just making me want to create loads because just makes me feel happy listening to it because I'm so proud of him. I don't know him, but I'm so proud of him for releasing this like raw and honest album.
That, I love, man, I love how you put that.
Super cool.
That was really, really eloquent. No, yeah, I actually saw that the other day, and I queued like two of the songs up, but I ended up doing something else and like ended up not getting around to it, but that is one that I will definitely go dive into. Yeah.
It's not necessarily like the most amazing, incredible, like, you know when you listen to an album and you're like, holy crap, this is the most amazing album ever. You don't listen to it and think that, but it's just like all of the stuff behind it just makes the music so much better, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm a strong believer in like albums that have music that has stories and like concepts to albums. Just makes it so much better for me. That's particularly with music, that's what inspires me, like a good album that has good everything.
Yeah, that's dope. And I think album art is so underplayed, man. Album art is so important. I'm actually looking currently at Jack Garrett's art for this new album. It's sick, and it's very similar to the stuff that you do. It's like, it's super, super sick. I love that. That's so cool.
I think like album art is like, it's kind of severely overrated but severely underrated at the same time.
Mm.
Like, everyone's kind of doing it, like album art, like,
Yeah.
It's everywhere, you know. You can't go a day without seeing like an album cover, a single cover. If you listen to like, it's everywhere, on your phones, and if you have like vinyls and CDs. But also like actual like real conceptual, it can be so incredible, and I think that's so underrated of how much of an amazing piece it can be beyond the album cover. You know what I mean?
I just clocked. Did I say overrated a second ago? I so meant underrated. Shit.
No, you did say underrated.
Okay, cool. I meant underrated. Like, yeah. Album art is so underrated. There's some incredible, like, this is such a weird I'm get such a weird group to bring up, but they've got this album art. I don't know what the album's for. I'll have to look it up in a second. But this group called Cunny Linguists, who are like a 90s rap group, have this crazy, like, almost like woman figure, like, interact with vines. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of art I've ever seen. I totally agree. Like, I mean, also, some artwork in covers has been iconic. You know, look at Abbey Road. Look at any Pink Floyd album is, like, iconic artwork pretty much around the world, especially the Prism, like, Dark Side of the Moon or whatever it is, album. And, like, I think... Yeah, it's a big thing that people nowadays don't recognize because everything's streamed. You never hold that in front of you and go, whoa, this is really cool. You're like, it's in the tiny corner of Spotify, like, and it's like, oh, if you want to see the picture, you have to click on it. And even then, it's like only this much bigger. And you're like, well, shit.
That's why I love when artists take the initiative to actually, like, do more than that. I just think it's sick. Like, I don't know if you know, like, you know Flume, obviously.
Yeah.
But just some of the album artwork, I think the artist is Jonathan Zoida, I think. He's Australian, I believe. And just the concepts and all the visuals, like, it's just so much more than an album cover. He does like animations, like a like visualizers, like for his last mixtape, which was 17 songs that all flow into one. For that whole thing, they created a visual album for it as well.
Wow.
A whole music video that went the whole length of it.
Wow.
It's just, there's just so, I love it when they do so much more, because it's not just a, you know, we're kind of restricted seeing it on our screen. So I like it when people, I think I really respect it when artists do more. Like,
it's a whole sort of creating something that is hitting you in more than one way. So, you know, with music, it's, yeah, the beat is kind of cool and I like that and the words are kind of cool. But when they line it all up together, and you're feeling something differently than just, you know, notes, but it's hitting you in a way that is affecting you, that's when it becomes, you know, changing. That's when you, and it doesn't happen very often, does it? Like, you hear like 100 songs, and then when you hear one, you're like, whoa, let me just, what was that? And it catches you. And there's something about that. You can't even put your finger on it, right? It's not... It could be the hook, it could be the music, it could be that you know the person's backstory. But when it lines up, it's absolutely beautiful, right? It's like, it's cosmically beautiful when it lines up, when they get it right. And there's certain songs that you're like, whoa, that was like, they bottled lightning with that song. And you don't even know why or how.
Mm-hmm. I think, cool. do you know what, Coops? A weird like kind of segue in my mind is you said that about like doing a whole music video for a whole album. There's something really powerful, I think, in something that I talk to Tom about frequently when I'm doing filming stuff and I'm talking about movies and stuff, is soundtracks are so important, and getting the like visual art to line up with the like sound stimulus that you're also hearing is so important. And I think you're 100% right. Like, there's scenes in movies that without the art, without what you're seeing, the song would be nothing. And without the song, what you're seeing is pretty irrelevant as well. And I think you're really right, especially like in terms of art and visual. Like, if you look at anime or like some sort of cartoon based like drawing, especially in anime where like soundtracks again are very important, you look at things like I'm not sure if you've heard of like Cowboy Bebop or like Spirited Away, like the famous ones. They're beautiful pieces of art in of themselves. If you took away all the music and just had the speaking of the actors in the story, it's still amazing, unbelievable. But I 100% agree with you, that art comes to life when you have these beautiful piano pieces behind it that are like changing it. In like Cowboy Bebop, it's all like 90s like hip-hoppy kind of stuff, and it really does change a whole dynamic of what you're watching and what you're experiencing. And I think, Tom, you were saying it's coming at different angles. Like, I was thinking while you were saying that, it's like an experience rather than it being a song or one stimuli. It's suddenly an experience rather than a singular like thing that's happening. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, like the way like it working together. I wrote my dissertation on Bon Iver's 22 A Million album cover and the album. And basically I focused on how the artwork that surrounds the album and all of the press and like that particular design and artwork actually strengthened that album and made people want to purchase it more. I can't remember exactly. I tried to shove that to the back of my mind, that distinct. But yeah, it was all about how important it is, basically, and how it just, it made the album what it was. Without the artwork, the songs wouldn't have had as much meaning. Without, you know, the songs, the artwork wouldn't have had the meaning, and they just worked together seamlessly. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question then, based off of all this? Do you like look at maybe down the road being an album designer? Like, that would be fucking cool, wouldn't it?
That's like, for the last few years at uni, that's been like my ultimate goal, is to like design album covers and EP covers. But there's kind of like, there's two realms to it really, because like, in order to be able to design an album cover with that much surrounding it, with that much concept and that much, you've got to have the money to go into that, and it's got to be like a big artist. You can do it without, you can do it just for your own enjoyment, for like smaller artists, but it's a difficult one, yeah, because you'll never just be an album cover designer, because people want their own image for their sound. So you have people that do album cover design, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Also, you can't have one person just doing everything, because then everyone's albums will look the same, and that's kind of like a bit, everyone's music deserves their own identity, like visually. So I guess like I would love to design album covers, but it's not, I don't see a part of my life where that's like all I do. It will always be something as well, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
So what I would say then, I guess, is anyone who is listening, anyone who watches this, who looks at Lauren's art and sees their music in your art, hit her up, give her a message. Maybe we'll have a buddy for life that'll make you art and your albums for life, and then who knows, take you to stardom with some art. That'd be pretty cool.
I got a question around that. So are there people out there, so you said like there's different ways to get into that space. Are there people out there right now that are looking at music, and there's already album art attached to that music that was commissioned for that music, that then just go off and do their own thing and have their own vision, their own interpretation of what that album art could be, and have sort of backed their way into a career that way, just by being noticed as having alternative ways to, you know, to show album art that isn't, you know, it's not part of the artist's portfolio, but it's just their jam, you know, on their own Instagram page or something like that.
I think definitely, because like, even though like I said, each artist and each piece of music, like you want to be able to show the song, and you want the album cover to like do it justice, but there's never ending possibilities of what that could look like. So I even did a few projects at uni. Like I redesigned Tasha Tana's Flow State album cover. That was the project that you said you liked, Bodhi. Yeah. And this semester just gone, I did do a version of Flume's mixtape. And I just, you know, I post it because it's like, it's not necessarily what I think it should look like, because I'm not saying that other album covers are wrong. I'm just saying like, this is my visual interpretation of the music. And if people like my visual interpretation of that genre, or how I like my relationship with music to visuals, like how my process of that, if people like it, then yeah, that's definitely a way for people to get noticed and get commissions through with that kind of thing. That's basically like the best way to get it, to do it right now.
So something you said earlier about like going forward, you were worried about like uni's finished, you've now got like, or in that last section of uni, you were like, I don't want my creativity to drop off, because I've been focused at uni, I've been in Falmouth, I've had like, I assume you're like sanctum sanctorum in your room, where you've got your like, you know, your little mind palace that you can go to, and everything's like feng shuied out. And you know, how are you going forward gonna deal with like what I guess the broad term is like writer's block, but like artist block, I guess, like creative stoppages, I guess. How have you dealt with that at uni? How do you find dealing with that? Obviously, because commissions, when someone asks you to do something, it's like, cool, I gotta create, regardless of whether I'm feeling creative or not, you know.
I think uni environment can be a little toxic with that kind of thing, because I'd have really bad creative block, and I literally wouldn't physically be able to create anything for like weeks, for like 3 weeks, and then I'd be like, that's 3 weeks of a semester gone, just wasted. But then I'd somehow get a you know rush of creativity and rush of like motivation and inspiration, and I'd produce what I could have done in those 3 weeks literally in 2 days.
That's the way
it's always worked for me at uni. And when I was going through those stages of not being able to do anything, it's really stressful. I felt like there was something wrong, like you know, what if I don't make it back, and I can't produce anything. But I feel like that's just, since finishing uni, that just hasn't happened. It's just been a nice steady flow, and I think that's from the lack of pressure, because even though I feel pressure to get commissions and get jobs, I feel absolutely no pressure with what my work should look like, because I now have this freedom of just doing whatever the hell I want. I don't have to worry about marks, I don't have to worry about grades. So in that sense, something that would have taken me like 4 weeks at uni is now taking me like 2 days. It might not be like as thought through as it would have been at uni, because you know you are made to kind of go into every possibility and every direction that a piece could go, just to, you know, like you have to experiment and you have to say why it didn't work, and you have to, like school, you just kind of have to go through the motions. But I don't have to do that now. I can trust my own judgment a lot more. And I think I've been able to stay more creative, trusting myself, and just at a steady pace.
Cool.
Like, you know, I haven't done any drawing. I haven't really done anything artistic today because I've been at work all day and I've been talking to you guys, but like, that's fine. It's not stressed me out. Whereas at uni, I would have been like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I've gone a day without doing something and I feel like I should have done something.
Mm.
So it feels a lot more natural now. So it's stressful because I've got my whole career in front of me, and there is like am I actually ever going to break through and get loads of commissions, or am I actually just going to be a Tesco the rest of my life? Like, who knows? Like, it is a bit. That's what I find stressful, is that not knowing.
Yeah.
But also, I don't feel as stressed in terms of my own work. I feel a lot calmer and like a lot more steady. Like, I can just do what I want, really.
Yeah. That's, you know what, that's super dope to hear, at least as one of your fans, because means art's gonna be flowing. And that's super cool. But also, you know, I think something else I was gonna kind of like talk about with that is, I find for me, when I get like writer's block or like creativity struggling, or even days like, again, I consider skateboarding creative, when I'm like struggling to do tricks or struggling to or like coordinate myself, I often find my mental health takes a dip, and like I often find that I have a day, or you know, an afternoon where I'm either frustrated or angry or upset as well. Sometimes, often like bummed out at myself, like I'm like, why can't you do that kind of thing? And so I wanted to ask, you know, you said that you're going quite steady and whatnot. Do you find that like battling that mental health alongside confidence with like creative processes, one that you deal with often, or do you think that's just a weird me thing?
Definitely. It was in first year, I really struggled, because it was like, it was just like a constant circle. So I'd be like, I'd feel really uncreative, so I wouldn't be able to produce anything. And then I'd get really, really down, and I'd feel really guilty about not being able to produce anything. But then because I was feeling down and guilty, I couldn't produce anything. And it was like, is it my mental health kind of affecting the quality of my work, or is it the quality of my work affecting my mental health? And I had no idea what was going on. And first year was just a struggle. I just didn't know how to handle it. And I think it got better, like through second and third year, I learned to keep it completely separate. So now I've kind of become more confident in myself creatively. So it doesn't, it's not, there's no correlation anymore, really. Well, there always is, but do you know what I mean? It's not like, it's not so prominent anymore. So yeah, now if I'm not feeling very creative, it might be because I'm not feeling great in my head, but I then don't get worse because I'm not feeling creative. Like I allow myself that time now, because I realize how important it is, especially for me personally, just to let myself breathe.
Super important. That's super important. Yeah, that's just the part of the process of knowing your process, right? And knowing, it's almost like being able to step outside of yourself and just watch these behaviors unfold, and then we start to understand that these behaviors start happening in almost in a certain order over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then if I can just know that and know that I'm in that cycle and that at the end of that cycle, I always come out the other end.
Yeah.
Like I never don't come out the other end. Mm-hmm. So why get so like, and it's hard, it's really hard to separate your emotions from that. But I think it's really healthy to be able to just say, look, I'm in the cycle and I can't land that trick today. But I've had that 10 or 100 other times before, and I've then come back another day and landed a harder trick. That's my cycle. It's always gone that way. And then just being able to be kind to yourself on those days where you can't, you know, where it's not flowing, the art isn't flowing or whatever. That's where like the mental health bit is super, super important to put the mental health bit next to the process of the thing, the project that you're working on, and take care of both of them, right?
I would say, Coops, in two ways. One, I've got some work to do on myself in terms of creativity, hearing that from both of you guys. But also, I'm both proud and look up to you in that way after hearing you say that. Like, I remember coming out of college where you were at, and dude, like, the steps you have taken to be the badass person that is sat in front of me today is so awesome. You're like, for people who are watching this aren't going to understand because they haven't seen this earlier version of you, but you know, for people to understand, Lauren was shy. She was not the person to be jumping in with conversation, and like, and you've become this beautiful, like, confident person, Lauren, that I really admire. I look up to you in a lot of ways, that you've made that shift and come out so much stronger than you ever thought you were going to. And not only that, but also I look up to you and I'm super proud of you. I like really proud of you to hear all of that good shit. You're doing awesome, man. I'm sat here just like, damn, I've got such a good friend. You're so sick.
Thank you. It means a lot. It really does.
No. Yeah. It's dope. And I think as well, just as someone that I look up to creatively as well, I love how continuous, like how consistent you've been with your art as well. That's been something that almost subconsciously has made me go like, that's really cool that she's as consistent as she is, that it's like you said, that you're now finding that rhythm and it flows a bit more. You give yourself the space and the time and all that kind of stuff. So no, yeah, I think it's really cool to see where you've come in all that time, especially as it's just been 3 years at university. That's like,
it sounds like a long time, but it's really, really not.
Exactly. Yeah, it's gone by really, really fast.
Yeah, I think as well, like, it did feel like it was obviously finished early. I feel like the last 2 months of my degree was just, it wasn't my degree, it was just because like graduating this year, just if I think that's what made it, maybe that's what's helped like the transition for me more, because I was doing my work from home and it almost felt like I was doing my own thing, but it was like, oh crap, yeah, like it is actually for uni. But because I was just doing it from home at a house that I've never done any uni work at before, because this is where I've lived for the 3 years, it's just completely different. And maybe that's what's made my transition like a little bit easier. I think
that's a good point,
because like I think as well, I think I probably could have done better this semester if I wasn't doing the work from home, but then I'm not mad about it because this was completely thrown in at the deep end, like anyone at uni, anyone at school or anything right now, just completely different situation to what anyone was expecting. So you can't blame yourself at all for anything. But yeah, like I've never done work here before really. This was always my place to just do personal and extra work. I guess, yeah, I think that probably did make it slightly easier. There wasn't so much of like a gap between the two, like uni and outside of uni, I guess.
Yeah. I have another question that I was kind of thinking about. Bit of a weird one, but I know, like, being a girl, I'd like, do you find that there's sexism in the industry of illustration? Is do you find that guys get more commissions? Is that like something that you've heard about or anything? Like what's the prevalence of that within the industry of art? Because I'm not involved at all, and as a guy I probably wouldn't even know anyway. So
I don't think, I haven't personally experienced anything yet, but I know it's very much a thing.
Okay.
In terms of illustration, I mean I look even though I took illustration and my work is quite illustrative, I focus more on like graphic design trends and like that kind of industry, because I want my work to kind of fit into that realm more than illustration, but still inspired by illustration. So I kind of look towards that direction more. And I think it's always been an industry that has been heavily, it's always been heavily run by men. Like, it's just, there's always been more men in the industry. But like, I follow a lot of female graphic designers and artists on social media, and they are like completely killing it, and they are coming up. So it's definitely a thing, but it's not something that yet I have personally like experienced or felt that it's hindered my career yet. I say career, I haven't really started my career yet. I haven't, like, you know, I'm still waiting for those commissions to come in, and I'm still searching for kind of like creative jobs in my area, but I haven't personally experienced it yet. But it is definitely a thing, definitely, especially within like more graphic design. You find that a lot of the big graphic designers are all men.
Interesting.
Well, not all men, but
yeah, a large
ones, yeah. I mean, that's not to say there aren't women, like some, like you look at like It's Nice, that magazine, and like there's some incredible women, and you look at like graphic designers and typographers that have influenced, and there are women. It's not to say that there isn't, but it has always been an industry that's been
pretty male dominated. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I just didn't know. Like, I guess I've never asked a girl what's it like to deal with that kind of shit, because I know, like, obviously it's prevalent in a lot of industries and within society as a general in today's age. So I didn't know if it bled as far deep as even the art community, because I mean, obviously we also then go, you know, you look at Renaissance art, and every single big Renaissance artist is a dude, and they're just painting women who are lazing about on rocks. So it doesn't bode well there either. So I
think from like what I've seen on like social media, like Instagram and Twitter as well, a lot of the more confident low-key designers that aren't necessarily completely established yet, like they don't have a massive following, it does seem to be more male-based.
Yeah.
I guess they're just some like more confident, maybe. I don't know why, maybe, but like I try and portray that confidence as well. Yeah. And I think I do have it. It's just, like thinking about it now, it is a lot on social media. It's a lot of men, especially like, yeah, in the design areas.
Mm.
But, yeah.
But that's why you're a force to be reckoned with, because you're something different. You're the new, out with the old, in with the new, changing and carving up new industries all over the place. No, yeah, I think it's definitely a... Yeah, it's one that Nikki's very socially active and feminist, and I would class myself as a feminist. If feminism is for equality for all, then I completely stand with feminism and down with that. So I talk about that kind of stuff often. So yeah, I was curious, actually. I wrote that down as a late question, kind of to myself. I didn't even discuss it with Tom, but I wrote that down as a late question that I was like, oh, definitely would love to know a little bit about that. So no, I'm glad that we actually talked about that. that I managed to get that in there.
Yeah, it's definitely changing though. Definitely, like it's in the middle of that, like everything, you know, going on. Like our generation is just so like aware of all these problems. And yeah. So it's definitely gonna, like, it will change. It will take time. But you know, there are some mad talented women out there, and they're definitely gonna
100%. I mean, like I for me, some art that I've kept up with is, I guess, like the tattoo industry a little bit. I keep up to date with that a little bit. And there's like now becoming prolific female artists that like are up there with some of the biggest names.
I think I actually like follow more women tattoo artists. I think like I actually come across more on Instagram and social media and everything. So
I do, you know, I would actually agree with you. I would say the large majority of Instagram tattoo artists that I follow are pretty much women as well. Like I follow maybe two or three guys that are known as like the legendary scope of tattoo artists, but even then, like, not really. I typically go for art that I like rather than gender of the person, but typically it's more women, I would agree.
Yeah, I think that reflects though that like tattoo design in general is shifting. I think like what people can do nowadays and what people actually bother to like practice and do on people's bodies is incredible, like the detail of like tattoos these days. And I think I think as that art is like kind of developing and changing, I guess that's probably why like you do see more and more women coming into it, because they're just like, well, this is changing, like I'm gonna get in there, I can do that, like I'm really good at that. Like and they bring their own styles to the board, which are just becoming more and more popular.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Talking about tattoos, have you got any new tattoos? Is there any that are like able to be showed on camera?
I've got one on my leg, but I don't think I should get that out.
Describe it to us.
It's some carnation flowers on my leg, like at the bottom of my calf, but I got it in the perfect position so that when I wear my Converses, which is what I always wear, it looks like they're growing out of them.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I haven't had any since then.
High top Converse or low top Converse?
High top. So they like,
Nice. That's
almost super... like a flower pot.
Yeah.
That's a really clever concept. I like that you're it's like, to me, that was like when the original mustache on the finger kind of happened, like similar kind of level of a conceptual idea. I like that. That's super dope. No, yeah. Tattoos is a crazy industry, especially because it's so different, and everyone has, again, so many different styles. And then within those like genres of tattooing, you've got actual art styles that people bleed into, like techniques of tattooing, I guess, not genre, like techniques of tattooing, whether it be black and gray or neo-traditional or new school, whatever it may be. It's a weird industry that's definitely coming up. I went when I was last in Japan, I had to go to a like rinky-dink tattoo studio like in a back street somewhere because it's illegal over there. And it's crazy to see, again, different cultural differences in tattooing as well, which is super interesting. I'm sure you've seen, again, with Instagram, you see, that's the other thing I love about Instagram, you get tattoo artists from all over the world, so you get that culture really bled in.
We talk about it like a lot at uni with like our tutors, and it's like Instagram and social media is like, it's such a curse in a way, but also it's such a blessing, especially for like creative industries, because it's just so easy to get noticed. Well, not easy, it's obviously really difficult, but it's just such an accessible platform just to get noticed by one person, and then that's your whole career,
Your tattoo experience in Japan, though, but it may have been a back alley, but the what I saw of it was like surgical as far as how the tattoo artist went about getting you the exact image that you wanted, and just the whole process seemed like it was really like you like an experience.
It was so tattooing is currently like semi-illegal in Japan. Like they're not super down with it because it has a rich history of like mafia and like Yakuza, and typically gangs have tattoos. So for example, me and Nikki, when we were in Japan, could not go in any of the bathhouses or anything like that because we have tats and you're just not allowed. So I actually spent some time researching tattoo studios, and I looked up places that will tattoo English people and tattoo studios that also speak English, because my Japanese, I know like 9 Japanese phrases and none of them have anything to do with it. It's like, how do I get here? What time is it? Thank you. Like, so he was really meticulous. The guy was really cool. He didn't say a whole lot, but once it got down to it, it was like a whole different experience to the one that I've done, all the other tattoos I've had, because he used a rotary coil rather than the new like machines that are like electrical powered. Like he had 3 machines on his counter that he was switching between dependent on like the line size and colors, not switching the caps on the end, which I've never seen before. Obviously it's like old school tattooing and it's just not done as much these days. But also he was wearing like a leather, like apron and like surgical mask and everything. So yeah, he was on it, and it wasn't rinky dink, the operation, in any way, shape or form. And to this day, I think it's possibly the best applied tattoo that I've ever had. It's not my favorite tattoo, but it is the best applied. Like the color is the best sunk, like the lines are the best sunk, like it's easily the best in that way. So again, it's my fish one.
Oh, you did show me that one.
Yeah, the fishes. But yeah, it was like, again, I went into with Nikki and I was like, it's going to be terrible. It's okay because it's a tattoo from Japan and that's the point. But but when I came out, I was like, holy shit, this is one of the most beautiful tattoos I've got on my body. This is nuts. We were both pretty stoked about it. But yeah, no, I think the whole tattoo industry is in a really same kind of thing that you said, Lauren, this progressive place where they're moving forward very fast in terms of accepting culturally different tattoos and also people of different ethnicities within the industry and so on and so forth, as well as also genders and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Coops, this has been absolutely incredible. We're coming up to like the 1 hour, like 15 mark. So what we'll do is we'll round it off. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up? Anything else that you wanted to talk about? Tom, anything on your end?
Can I just say something, Coops, before you go on your turn? I'm going to build on what Bodhi said. Like, so I've seen your journey, again, from a little bit more of a distance than Bodhi and from a different perspective as an older person. And yeah, big ups to you, Coops. You've evolved into like this strong woman that, you know, just your point where you said, you know, this lockdown thing, it was like, what else are you going to do? You had to just kind of roll with it. Well, that's not exactly the case for everyone. Like a lot of people are going to use lockdown as a huge excuse of like, I just couldn't do it. It was just too much stress and all this other stuff. And you just kind of absorbed that information and made it into a situation that has been really productive for you. So that shows just like your journey has been really interesting to watch. And here you are, you're standing here and you're confident and you've got the skill that you've developed over the last few years and you're excited about the future. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I'm glad you come across like confident and well. That's really good.
Coops, thank you so much for this. Also, drop a plug for yourself. Where can people find your art? What's your shop called? Instagram, Facebook, drop it all, please.
I'm Lauren Jean Design on Instagram. And you can find everything through there. So I've got a shop and my website and everything and all my contact details that you can find through there. My shop's only been open for a few days. And that was another thing that I just kind of did. I didn't know if anyone was going to buy anything. I was just like, I want to do this. I want to order some stuff and see my work in print. So I'm going to do it. Nice. But yeah, so you can find everything on there.
Yeah. Awesome. Guys, she is an amazing artist. She deserves the recognition that people can provide. If you see this video, share it out. And Coops, thanks so much. You were nervous before this. Do you feel like that went? How do you feel that went for you? Is that
cool? Yeah, it just feels like I'm talking to you guys.
Cool. I'm glad.
Awesome. Right.
I'm gonna end the live stream. Thank you everyone for watching. Tune back in next week. We'll have another guest lined up and we'll advise you as we go. And who knows, in the future, Coops, we'd love to have you back on maybe in a year to find out where you're at, where the process is at, how many commissions you're rocking.
I think I'm doing well by then.
you definitely will be. But thanks, Coops. Really appreciate this.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coops.
No, 100%. Right. Live stream.